You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Finally, will there be justice in the disappearance of a college girl, Kristen Smart?
We're beginning here today because this is where it all began on the campus of Cal Poly University. On May 25th, 1996, this was the last place that Kristen Smart was seen alive. It has been 24, almost 25 years since Kristen went missing. 24 years without a resolution until today. I'm here this afternoon to announce the arrest of Paul Flores for the murder of Kristen Smart and the arrest of his father, Ruben Flores, as an accessory to the murder.
You are hearing it straight from the mouth of San Luis Obispo County Sheriff Ian Parkinson. Take a listen to more.
We have not recovered Kristen. We will continue to focus on finding her remains, regardless of any court action. So we will continue the process of finding out where Kristen is. We know that's an important part issue with the family. Since I came into office in 2011, we have served over 41 search warrants on this case. Done physical searches of 16 different locations, one of which was back on the back hill, you may remember a few years ago. A complete re-examination of every physical item seized, submission of 37 items of evidence from the early days of the case for modern DNA testing, recovery of 193 items of physical evidence, new physical evidence. We've conducted approximately 137 person-to-person interviews, and in addition, completed over 500 additional police reports. I can tell you this file, the size of it is probably in the size, if you put it on a hard drive, it's in excess of 3 terabytes. It's that much involved in this case.
25 years. Finally, in the last hours, an arrest in the case of missing girl Kristen Smart, who goes missing off her college campus in 1996. Her parents, brokenhearted, but never giving up. With me, an all-star panel to break it down. First of all, Daryl Cohen, former felony prosecutor, now defense attorney at Cohen Cooper Estep. Dr. Angela Arnold, renowned psychiatrist, joining me out of the Atlanta jurisdiction at AngelaArnoldMD.com. Director and founder of the Cold Case Research Institute, forensic expert Cheryl McCollum, and investigative journalist Jennifer Sikowski. Jennifer, what happened?
So yesterday, the San Luis Obispo sheriff announced that due to the most recent developments in the warrants that were given to search Ruben Flores' property, that's Paul Flores' father, they were able to make an arrest of both Ruben and Paul Flores.
You know, what you just said is really the banner. Arrest of longtime suspect Paul Flores and his father, Ruben Flores. And I find it very, very telling to you, Cheryl McCollum, Director, Cold Case Research Institute, that while they are not revealing what was taken during the search warrants that led to these two arrests, we know that physical evidence was taken. We know that mm-hmm. the grounds of the father, Ruben Flores' home, were searched. So there had to be something there, a trophy, a memento, something. We also have learned that there were wiretaps on cell phones and home phones. What does that tell you? The items are sealed, Cheryl McCollum. We don't know what they got to support these two arrests, but they got something. Hey, I'm sad it took 25 years to do it, but it happened.
It happened, and it was an unbelievable effort by this agency. Nancy, 137 interviews, 500 additional police reports. They've been working the daylights out of this case. And what it says to me, from the very small bags they took out of that house up to a VW bug vehicle, they've got physical evidence. and they are going to search the grounds of that home. The deck on that house was built after Kirsten went missing.
Okay, now, are you trying to suggest that this is something like a Chase Masner scenario where there could be a body under the deck? Because they were clear they have not found her body yet.
They have not yet, but the search continues.
You know, I'm curious, have they dug up the deck yet? Do you know, Cheryl
all
McComb?
All I know is they've used ground penetrating radar. I don't know that they've dug at all yet, but I think that's coming today.
To Daryl Cohen, a former felony prosecutor who handled lots of homicides, now defense attorney, we also know that they revealed they had recovered 193 items, including, quote, physical evidence. What does that tell you, Daryl Cohen?
It tells me that circumstantial evidence wins the day. It tells me these police officers or homicide people have for 25 years said, I'm not going to lose this case. I'm going to find this person. They had the person of interest, then it became a suspect, and now he's a defendant. And it tells me they've got him left, right, up, and down, and he is toast.
Man, I can only pray, Daryl Cohen, because Dr. Angela Arnold, what these two parents, and I feel like I know them well because I have been in talks with them and covering Kristen's disappearance for so long. But this must take a devastating toll on them. And today, on a day when many people would think that they would be celebrating and jubilant over the arrest, they are taking no interviews, answering no questions. And I get it. I can't explain it psychiatrically like you can. But I recall when I would manage to get a guilty verdict in a very upsetting, let's just say, murder case, I didn't feel like celebrating. People would say, you got to go out and celebrate. I'm like, No. I just want to go home. And I can't explain that. And their parents are not taking media requests. They're not speaking. And I get it. I can't explain it, but I get it.
Nancy, the death of a child is
horrible.
The ultimate tragedy. It's the number one stressor in a parent's life. All bereaved parents lose a part of themselves. And these parents not only did they lose a child, they didn't even know if she was alive or dead for so long. So they didn't have the opportunity to say goodbye. And can you imagine? This has been 25 years of their life.
I wonder right now what the parents are going through. It's just been living hell for them ever since she went missing, from one botch after the next, after the next, after the next. Her being missing for days without them finding out. At first, it was handed over to campus security. They royally screwed it up. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. And I don't like telling jurors things like that, but you have to speak the truth. It got screwed up from the get-go. And now, 25 years later, finally, an arrest.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
For those of you just joining us, there has been not one, but two arrests in the 1996 disappearance of a college girl, Kristen Smart. How did the whole thing start? Take a listen to our friends at crimeonline.com.
Kristen Smart was a typical college student. She was enrolled at California Polytechnic State University, or Cal Poly. As Memorial Day weekend rolled around, Smart made plans to attend a birthday party for a fellow student. After midnight, students Cheryl Anderson and Tim Davis walked Smart back to her dorm. Along the way, another student from the party, Paul Flores, joins the group. He offers to help Smart get to her dorm room safely. Tim Davis leaves the group first. He lives off campus and drove to the party. Cheryl Anderson broke off, heading to her dorm, Sierra Madre Hall. According to Flores, he walked Smart as far as his dormitory and then allowed her to walk back to Murr Hall alone. This was the last known sighting of her. Smart had no money or credit cards with her at the time she went missing.
Now, I want you to hear one of the last time. Again, the parents are not speaking today after these two arrests and the death, the murder of their little girl, Kristen Smart. But I want you to hear, and this is very significant, what Kristen's dad, Stan, told me. Listen.
Initially, the campus police thought our daughter had gone camping with friends, and this is why she had not returned to campus, that she had overstayed, you know, the vacation time. And so initially I was a little upset. And although after a week, you know, it appeared that something horrible had happened. And so I had gone down there to take a look and meet with the campus police. And the campus police were very ill-equipped to deal with a missing person. I think probably they would be able to handle students that had been drinking, or if there had been a party or a car parked where it shouldn't be, but they had no idea what to do for an investigation into a missing person. And so I was rather disappointed. And they were real quick to point out that it was our daughter who had made an error, had gone to a party, like many students going to college and away from home, and that she'd gotten into trouble and disappeared. And so they left really the blame with, you know, with us, with our daughter.
Well, it gets worse. When I told you the campus security botched it up from the get-go, listen to what Kristen's mom, Denise, tells me.
Obviously, we didn't know the first day. We didn't know the second day. We didn't know the third day, because Cal Poly did not take a request from her friends to look for her. So by the time Monday evening came around, which was, she disappeared Friday night, we didn't hear anything till Monday evening. And we got a call from the campus if we knew where she was. And, you know, I think every parent will tell you, you have a gut reaction when you know something's not right. And someone calling you out of the blue and saying, do you know where your daughter is? And she's 200 miles away. Bumps again, just going back to there. And I think it's as you referenced that it comes back. It just always comes back. And whenever you hear about a missing child, you relive it for that family as well.
Kristen's mom, Denise, told me that, so I can only imagine what they're going through right now with the arrest in the last hours of Paul and Ruben Flores, a father and son devilish duo. We know that nearly 200 pieces of physical evidence have been taken pursuant to warrant, but what do they reveal? This announcement, bittersweet. Yes, there's an arrest, but it's been 25 years in the making. All of us asking why? Well, here's a clue. Take a listen to the timeline as laid out by KSBY NBC6.
May 25th, 1996. That's when Smart left an off-campus fraternity party around 2 a.m. and was walked back to her Muir Hall dorm by several people. Paul Flores was one of them and the last person to be seen with her, according to witnesses. 2 days later, May 27th, Kristen's resident hall neighbor reported her missing. Nearly a month after her disappearance, Cal Poly Police turned the case over to the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office, and hundreds of volunteers went on an organized search for Kristen on June 29th. In July 1996, investigators named Paul Flores a key witness. Kristen's parents, Stan and Denise Smart, have filed several lawsuits against Flores, starting just months after she went missing. In this November 1997 deposition, you can hear James Murphy, the Smart family's attorney, asking Flores about his parents' name, place of work,
are you presently employed,
and Kristen's disappearance. But Flores refused to answer each question, except to say this.
On the advice of my attorney, I refuse to answer that question based on the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution.
I mean, Daryl Cohen, former prosecutor, now defense attorney, how bad does that look? He won't even say his parents' name and takes the Fifth even on that. I mean, what could make you look more guilty unless you take out a sign on Third Avenue that says, I'm Paul Flores and I did it?
You know, I love it. I always loved it as a prosecutor, because the best thing they can say is, I want to take the Fifth Amendment. Why? Because if I say something, it's going to incriminate me. And if I'm incriminated, I am going to be arrested. And then I'm going to be found guilty, or I'll plead guilty. Oh, come on. Fifth Amendment, it works, but it doesn't.
Yeah, it looks terrible. You know, Cheryl McCollum, I'm thinking on the evidence right now and about the presser that was given yesterday by the sheriff of St. Louis Obispo. It's got to be bittersweet because, yes, they have these two arrests, thank God, but it's taken 25 years. and they had tons of evidence at the get-go, Cheryl McCollum?
Nancy, everybody knows how critical the first 48 hours is in a homicide, but with a missing person case, it's the first 3 hours. Typically, if that person is going to be killed, it's within the first 3 hours. They did not know for 3 days. So the evidence that could have been lost, the fact that she hasn't been recovered in all this time, is part of the reason they weren't on it fast enough. However, they're on it now. And I know with almost 200 pieces of evidence, and that stemming from putting people under surveillance and tapping their phone, they gave themselves away more than once. And this house of cards is fixing to fall.
Guys, a lot of this evidence has been around for a long time. So what is the new physical evidence? What's in those 193 pieces of evidence that has led to the arrest, finally, and the disappearance, and we now know death of Kristen Smart? For instance, take a listen to this.
So it has to be someone in the room who has touched or been near that scent of death.
Out of all the dorm rooms, all the bedrooms, all the beds, they went to the corner of his bed in the trash can.
The Smarts believe the odds that a cadaver dog would have incorrectly picked up the scent of Kristen's remains is slim, and suggest that either Kristen died in that particular location or died at the hands of someone who had recently been in that dorm room.
Paul's roommate on the weekend she disappeared was gone. And therefore, Paul would know that he would have unfettered access to use his room. And therefore, Paul had an opportunity to get a girl that was under the influence back to his room.
So the cadaver dogs hit in Paul Flores' dorm room way back when. You were just hearing Denise Smart, Lindsay Smart, James Murphy on Vanished. So that's been around for a really long time. A cadaver dog looking for Kristen Smart, Cheryl McCollum, hits in Paul Flores' dorm room. Flores knew his roommate was gone for the weekend. He had the room to himself. He's the last one to see her. He admits he was with her, and she goes missing. I don't get it. Help me out. Why didn't this go forward then, Cheryl McCollum? What more could they have found?
Well, they might not have needed anything other than what they already had. But remember, technology has caught up. 25 years ago, we didn't have touch DNA. 25 years ago, we didn't have the MVAT or the Bardot method. We do today. So some of the items taken from that dorm room could have yielded her DNA.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
For those of you just joining us, an incredible break in the case of a missing college freshman, Kristen Smart, goes missing 25 years ago. Longtime suspect, a fellow student, Paul Flores, arrested along in an odd twist with his father, Ruben Flores. Dr. Angela Arnold, they get 193 pieces of evidence that we're now learning about. We learned about in the last hours. Mm-hmm. Don't you think anybody in their right mind would have gotten rid of every single thing that could have connected them to Kristen Smart? What's there to seize?
Nancy, what that is literally saying to me is, how sick and deranged are these people? They have lied and said they've had nothing to do with it for 25 years, and yet possibly kept trophies from this. My thought is, why would you do that? Because you know you might get caught one day. Are they that arrogant that they think that they could not get caught? And is that why the guy possibly did it in the first place? Because he was so arrogant that he thought he could get away with this?
You know, to you, Cheryl McCollum, how do you interpret what we're learning? Guys, in the last hours, in the crime world, this is major. A case that many people thought would never be solved. Kristen Smart, Jennifer Kessie, Natalie Holloway, Missy Beavers. It just goes on and on. Cases you think you'll never see an end to. You'll never see a resolution. You know, Cheryl McCollum, I remember when I had a book come out. I don't even remember the year now. I almost didn't go to the book coming out get together because I thought that the discovery of Natalie Holloway's body might happen that night. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was so convinced it was going to be solved. And then year after year after year goes by and you completely lose hope. Same thing here. So this is really a miracle in the crime world. Would you agree? How do you think that her kidnap and murder went down and not getting that Volkswagen day one was the biggest screw up ever? And I don't want to rain on their parade. There's been an arrest, but I'm looking back to figure out how can they prove this case now?
They didn't have the probable cause to get it then. One of the
you don't think the cadaver dog would have counted?
No, because there were other people in and out of that dorm room, and I guess they just couldn't get enough of it. But listen, I am telling you, what turned
wait a minute, wait a minute. Now, where did you get that law degree? Oh, right, you didn't. Okay. I think, hold on, Daryl Cohen, take off your defense hat.
Come
just
back
for a minute.
To me, please.
Be real with me, Daryl Cohen. A cadaver dog hits in his dorm room by his bed. He's on video with her. He says he's the last one with her, gives some bizarre story like he was walking her home, then halfway home, peeled off. You know that's enough for PC to get that VW. Right, you do know that. Don't lie. This is important, Daryl Cohen.
Nancy, of course it is. Of course it is. A cadaver dog.
A cadaver dog? Cadaver dog? I think somebody's had a little something in their coffee today. So defense work has finally driven you to drink.
It's yes, I was drinking hot tea with lemon, and it just gave me an awareness that I've never had before or will again.
Also, hey, what about this? Jackie is waving at me furiously, and she's right this time. Facial injuries and a black eye. Remember that? So Cheryl McCollum, I don't know what you're teaching at the Cold Case Research Institute, but you got a cadaver dog hit in his dorm room. He's got a black eye and facial cuts. Thank you. That goes to PC. Why they didn't get that VW. I mean, coulda, shoulda, woulda. I could talk about that all day long. But how are they going to prove
it
now?
Remember Casey Anthony? Remember Casey Anthony?
Do I remember her? Yeah, I remember her.
Remember what they did with the, you know, decomposition in the air, and they made such a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
In this case, they didn't have a body. They were waiting. They wanted to wait till they have everything, not just a dog hitting on a dorm room with no body yet. But let me tell you what they have right
now. They should
have
gotten that car right then, and you know it, and I know it. And you're apologizing for them, and I get it. I don't like it when law enforcement screws up. It makes us all look bad. It's horrible. It's bad for the victims. But it happened, and I think you got to grab the bull by the horns and tell the truth at the get-go. That was screw-up. So bottom line, rather than continuing to cry over that, how do we prove the case now, and what's your scenario of what happened that night?
Here's what's coming. If they have a prosecutor that is half of the prosecutor you were, here's what they're going to do.
I don't like that past tense, but okay.
You could do it today, sugar. We all know. But I am telling you, they are going to paint a picture just like you used to do for us. They are going to let that jury know, whether it's the back deck or wherever they were, wherever they put her. They put her and left her for 25 years. Every birthday, every 4th of July, every Christmas. What were they doing on that deck? Celebrating the 4th of July, celebrating birthdays, just hanging out, watching all the sunsets that she missed because of them. They are going to paint this picture of when he allegedly was walking her for her safety. He actually plotted and planned her murder. He waited. He waited until she was just intoxicated enough. He waited for the first man to break off and drive himself back home. He waited for the next person to break off until it was just the two of them. And at that point, he attacked. And then he ran home to his daddy, where his daddy helped hide her, bury her. And they will find her, Nancy.
Jennifer Sikowski joining us, investigative reporter. The parents issued a statement, although they're not appearing. They did issue a written statement. Listen to this. While Kristen's loving spirit will always live in her hearts, our life without her hugs, laughs, and smiles is a heartache that never abates. The knowledge a father and son, despite our desperate pleas for help, could have withheld this horrible secret for nearly 25 years. Denying us the chance to lay our daughter to rest is an unrelenting and unforgiving pain. You know, this morning, Jennifer, when the twins were going to school, I hugged them, and then I made them come back and hug them again. Her parents have lost everything, everything. Jennifer Tsukowski, what other clues did we get from the sheriff's presser, which went on? It was about an hour. I mean, he really gave us a lot, but he said he could not reveal what was taken. But we have clues, 193 pieces of evidence. What else did he say, Jennifer?
Well, two additional search warrants were also issued at the same time that the arrest warrants were issued. So they are still processing the home of Ruben Flores outside. And I think it's important to note that a coroner's tent was seen outside of the search of Ruben Flores' home yesterday.
Repeat, Jennifer.
And they're continuing.
A what?
A coroner's tent was seen outside of the search of Ruben Flores' home yesterday. So that tells me, hopefully, this family will finally be able to lay their daughter to rest.
You know what, Cheryl McCollum? If it turns out Kristen Smart has been buried in the backyard this whole time,
yep,
I think my head is going to blow off. Just blow off.
Nancy, she's right there. She's very close to these two people. They kept the car. They kept 193 pieces of evidence. They kept it. She's right there.
What more do they have? Take a listen to our Cut 33B. This is a San Luis Obispo County Sheriff Ian Parkinson.
In late 2016, we discovered additional evidence that confirmed that Paul was the suspect in the disappearance. In 2019, we interviewed several witnesses that had not been previously interviewed. Some of that information came to light through the podcast that many of you are familiar with, that was produced and eventually led to our interviewing that witness.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
This is the mother of now suspect Paul Flores. Susan Flores speaking to KSBY. Now remember, there's a dead girl hanging in the balance. And this is what she has to say.
What led you to talking with us today and letting me into the backyard?
I know I'm mad because they took the Volkswagen. That's my little restoration project. You know, people restore old cars all the time. I'm a real car. I love cars. I love old things, you know. It's like, no, I wanted to do a restoration on that car. They didn't need to take it. They wanted to take it. Now they're going to take, the warrant says they can take it apart. So God knows what it'll look like, you know. But it's, I don't know, it's private. They're coming and they're taking your stuff. They're taking your stuff at will. For any reason, you know, having a search warrant done and you think we'd be used to it is violating. It's like, they're in your house. They're in your drawers. They're in, they're scattering stuff.
Daryl Cohen, is that why you tell your clients to shut the hay up so they don't say things like this? She's whining and angry. Police seized the Volkswagen a day late and a dollar short, but they seized it when it was going to be her, quote, little restoration project. How much can we dislike her? Well, this girl is dead, most likely buried in the backyard and potentially met her death in that Volkswagen?
Nancy, I tell clients, KYDBMS, keep your damn big mouth shut. And how likable is this woman? Oh, you know, someone was killed. I probably know her. And you're going to take away my little pet restoration project? Really? This woman.
Well, hold on to your hat. Hold on to your hat, Daryl Cohen. Take a listen to Mom Susan Flores. This is defendant's mother and defendant's wife, father and son duo, in the murder of this teen girl. Take a listen to our cut 27. She's whining not only about her VW, she's also whining because cops looked at her yard.
Well, thank you. Definitely, Susan, talking all these years, does it feel good to, I mean, because you don't really talk that much about this case.
It's the first interview I've ever done in my life.
This will help? And
I don't know. They've had a lot of opportunities in different ways. I let them dig up my yard in 2007. They could have had a field day there. They chose, brought in the GPR, and they did this.
You know, Jackie, cut her off. I don't want to even hear her whiny voice anymore. You know, you got the you've got Kristen Smart's family just bent over in grief. And this mom, now we see the apple didn't fall too far from the tree, did it? Guys, I want you to hear what we've got. Forget about that bunch. Let's listen to what we've got regarding evidence. And I think this is really promising. This is hopefully the silver lining in an otherwise dark storm of lack of evidence, delays, problems, hiccups, to put it euphemistically. It's cut 34. Again, this is San Luis Obispo County Sheriff Ian Parkinson.
With the knowledge of the discovered of new evidence, new witnesses, sheriff's detective secured a court order authorizing the interception and monitoring of Paul Flores' cell phone and text messages. This is one of many things that have been done over the last 10 years. In February of 2020, detectives served search warrants at the home of Paul Flores, as well as his sister, mother, and father, all simultaneously last year. Physical evidence recovered during these searches led to the service of additional search warrant at Paul Flores' residence in April of last year. During the search warrant, detectives recovered evidence related to the murder of Kristen Smart. In March of this year, detectives served another search warrant in Arroyo Grande at the home of Ruben Flores, the father of Paul Flores. Additional evidence related to the Smart investigation was discovered at that time.
Straight after Cheryl McCollum joining us, director of the Cold Case Research Institute, they got a warrant. And this takes a lot of doing to tap phones, to monitor cell phone and text messages. And it makes me wonder if they were especially listening in after the last searches to see what the two would say to each other. Like, hey, did they look under the patio? Did they bring in cadaver dogs? Did they get near the body? I mean, who knows what's on those cell phone recordings?
And they're telling each other what they took from the house. So from February to March, you've got to know what's coming. And here's what's going to be critical to understand. While they're tapping your phone, they've also got you under surveillance. So if somebody went under the house, if somebody laid new rock, if somebody did anything to try to continue to hide her, it's going to be obvious.
You know, another thing is, while a lot of people consider a judge or a magistrate to be a rubber stamp, that is absolutely not true. I have not my arrest warrant applications or searches, but I've heard of many arrest warrants and search warrants in particular being turned down by magistrates and judges saying it's just not enough evidence. I want you to take a listen to our cut 35. Again, this is Sheriff Ian Parkinson.
So as a result of this evidence, a San Luis Obispo Superior Court judge signed two arrest warrants and two additional search warrants at approximately 07:30 this morning. Today, both were arrested simultaneously with a team down in San Pedro, California, and a team in Arroyo Grande, California. And they arrested Paul Flores and his father, Ruben. Paul was arrested for a charge of murder with zero bail, meaning he is unable to bail. And Ruben Flores was arrested as an accessory to murder with a bail of $250,000. We are still currently in the process of executing those search warrants. Could be there for the remainder of the day or even into tomorrow, depending on what they find.
Straight out to Jennifer Sikowski, investigative reporter. How did the arrests go down and where are the searches occurring right now?
So the searches, well, first off, the arrest went down of, I know Paul Flores was in his pajamas, sounds like, when he was arrested at his home. His father was arrested, sounds like at the same time, but at his own home. And as far as I know, the search is being conducted at Ruben Flores's home. And again, you know, with the coroner's tent being seen there, I anticipate something big coming out of this.
So the tent is at Ruben's home, Ruben Flores's home, Jennifer?
Yes.
What are the charges as they stand right now, Jennifer Tsikowski?
Okay, so Paul Flores is being charged with one count of murder, while his father, Ruben Flores, is being charged as an accessory to murder.
Okay, I'm interpreting what we know right now. Cheryl McCollum, I think you and I, Daryl, Dr. Angela, agree that they have reason to believe Kristen Smart's body, what's left of it, I'm sure it's skeletonized by now, is somewhere on Ruben Flores' property. They've got the coroner's tent up. The sheriff said he didn't know how long they would be out there. He also said, and this is very telling, I believe we will find Kristen's body. Okay. Best case scenario, Cheryl McCollum.
Best case scenario, they're going to recover her, and they're going to recover her with items that they also buried pursuant to the crime itself. So they will be adding kidnapping. They're going to be adding things like illegally disposing of a body. They're going to add all kind of things by tonight.
We wait as justice unfolds right now. Our prayers with Kristen's family. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.